say, you know, thank you for having us out here.
Thank you
for raising the mic for me. Without further ado, I guess I shall start. So this one goes, I woke up with a headache, want to avoid truancy, I'm hopping out of bed late, smoke to get my head straight, hoping to get away from last night, and separate with the room won't let me levitate, so I take a break and ponder the mistakes of my old paid last waking moments, fell into the unknown overgrown cyclone of a paranoid trip, painfully sick, the whole world changing its grip, and rearranging within, I slipped into its mist, a fluid twist I couldn't resist, where fear and I were forced to coexist, it insisted that I give in to this grinding and gnawing, ice binding, one drawing from out of my mind, falling deeper and deeper into the night, calling and crawling, my mauling psyche, and it might be installing of my shadows walling, but I wouldn't give in without a battle brawling, the rabbits will rattle, proud of streaming out of my mouth as I struggle to battle in broken sanity's fragile nook and undertook to look straight into that moving water, a consuming blotter, colors flashing in a gloomy jotter, dissipating only to doom and slaughter. I begged and bothered, but my head wouldn't accept the offer, then with a slip and a holler I fell straight into the robber, every color they all stirred, and I was never beginning to be the same with what they call words.
Thanks for raising it back down. I'm not as tall as this is called What Will Be, Won't Be. She came for me again last night with her blood rushing scream. Like clockwork, I arrived, the passenger to the passenger. I had given up my futile attempts to warn her of what lay ahead. Only now do I realize the irony of the song on their new radio, Que Sera, Sera. Her perfume smells like the sweetest, gentlest vanilla. Funny how that's what my sweat smells like. The man driving smells like cigarettes, Marlboro, guessing by the butts in the ashtray. I wonder what happens to him. I never get to see. If only the light would stay red for just 1 second more. He doesn't gas it when it turns. This man knows how to drive. If I could move, I'd scramble away. In cars today, I grab the door handle whenever I sit passenger, desperate to prevent what will happen to her when they pass the fifth white line. I don't know what kind of car he drives, but I could describe it to you if I wasn't so afraid of it. She sees him coming, but assumes he'll stop. The light is red and there are people in the crosswalk. I think he is intoxicated, or maybe has a death wish. If only I knew his fate as well. His faded yellow car plows past pedestrians. She screams. I can hear it even when I'm awake.
Prefatory note, the name Jules in this is spelled with two O's, like Jules Holland. Kiwis. Jules and Pam were wearing retro glasses with thick frames that seemed to spell the vowels of his unbiblical name. He was soldering something to a parrot, and she was making studiedly unaesthetic salads out of words. A boring postcard arrived from some distant friends with boring news, and they stuck it on the fridge with a magnet. Pam was pleased and Jules was excited by the view of an industrial estate at noon, the fact that their friend had been promoted to chief copywriter for Greater Auckland. His child had reached grade 7 in piano and the utility room was finally painted, so they took a break and watched a movie by an underrated Indonesian director. When it was finished, the sun had set, the kids in the playground had gone to bed, so Jules broke out the cilantro-flavored condoms to make balloons for a soiree they were planning tomorrow. Pam smiled indulgently and said, "What about pasta al funghi?" "We have no mushrooms, and I ate some of these, so I'm not hungry." Soon Pam retired, but Jules stayed up a while, reading a book about safety pins, recommended to him by another friend. For their kind, New Zealand is a state of mind, with nodes all over the globe, on Facebook and Twitter, linking Rick with Fred and Zan with Jonah, stretching from Singapore to South Tome, giving virtual wings to flightless birds.
And this is a poem about changing into someone or something else. The first time, that morning in May, just after you've moved in, it crackles under you like dried leaves. You slip out of bed, lift the duvet, a dried snake skin on the sheet. You shake it out the back door, put on a 90 degree wash. Everything is back to normal when he gets home from work. You're fine again for a few weeks. Then you start to crave darkness. You close all the curtains when he's gone, lie in the corner behind the couch. Then your arms start to feel weird, like they're shrinking, sinking back into their sockets. You drop things, the good Denby plates you got on sale in Arnott's, a bottle of Prosecco for your anniversary. Everything smashes on the kitchen tiles. He cleans it all up, puts the broken things out of sight. Your skin itches like mad. You rub up against things. The couch when he is out of the room. The door jamb when you slip out at night. Even the cold sheets. When he asks you what you want for dinner, you hiss at him and slip away upstairs. You stand in the bathroom, stare into the mirror, flick your tongue in and out. Your jaws ache. Your skull feels like it will burst. Your whole skeleton, a metal cage. A wave rises in you. Your head and spine curve like rubber. The relief. The tiles cool against your belly. You slither back downstairs. Even then, you pretend not to notice. You finally tell him you have a taste for squirming things. He says he'll support you all the way. You lie belly down in the dirt. He lies with you sometimes, rubs your skin so it tingles. He feeds you mice, frogs, lizards. In the end, you hold him, squeeze him, feel his last kiss, his nearly last breath. Then you let him go, slither away, leave your skin behind.
Irish people, I have an ambivalent, well, dichotomous kind of relationship with the Irish language. But I now live in an Irish speaking Gaeltacht, where I've lived for quite a few years now. Of course, I'm not fluent, and this poem is kind of about that. It's called The Road to Irish. It takes an hour to reach the turf road that shoelaces up the gorse and heather slope above Mount Eagle Lake, this now sunny, now showery day. Here it both pleases and saddens me that the neighbour I meet bringing sheep down from the hills above my house calls out to his dog in Irish but converses with me in English. Look, he says, a fine view of the island. He means the peninsula, but he's translating from the Irish, Leinish, meaning half an island. I looked the word up later, found that it comes from the Latin, peninsula, from pene, almost, and insula, an island. But no matter, Leinish resonates, taps into the dig where we stand mentality, the liminal in-betweenness that many of us who inhabit the end of the dictionary feel about our free-floating land finger. And it's here, however we name it, spread out under cloud shadow. Stone walls and small fields, then a carpet of pasture land, unrolling itself to a line of sand east of Mount Brandon. I ponder the climb ahead of me, so like my struggle with Irish. Near the summit, the road untangles itself from the painterly stillness of the upper slope. But when I look again, I see it has disappeared in a sudden downpour this side of the ridge.
And they like are kind of obsessed and infatuated with that side of themselves, kind of thing. So it's called sophisticated sadness. Your sadness was always so sophisticated. You starred and directed Art House Ennui, caught up in the script of dreamy dark reverie. There was that time we stood in a scoop of streetlight. I'm pretty sure you planned the scene. Light saturating you in yellow glow, washing out fine lines your nose, leaving behind emblazoned lips your eyes, an overexposed Polaroid. I watched you mouth the words, I've sold all of my gold to past lovers. Literally, you said that. It's not my metaphor. And then you swung around a lamppost, billowing a cloak embroidered with black roses. When I told my father about you, he said two words, bad news. My father knows shadows and has toured the strangeness of night, told me of ghosts and ghouls that float in chalky streetlight, the kind that write storylines around their lives, that whisk up trouble to struggle inside, artist types who drink the ink they couldn't save for the page and wander away drunk with stained lips poisoned, disappearing into cement. My father said, you look for problems and you'll find them. The streetlights are yellow whirlpools that swallow you, washed up on obscurity street, where goes a recluse walking his pet insect, a daddy long legs spinning around on a string, where goes a forest of women taping branches to their arms, addicted to their surrealism, they want to be trees, scratch bedroom windows and scare little children. When they finish, they howl the moon, they prowl with their untamed hair, their lunatic laughter, their fishnet sleeves and broken teeth, scarred skin, eyeliner wings, talismans, swing their necks on strings, coffee breath, cigarette fingers, scuffed high heels, the real deal witches. I'm sure they were once like you, depressive art house ingenues. The beach is where I last saw you. I chose a completely wrong scene. I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. I now know that barbecue smoke is an awful stage effect. I'm sorry the other families brought along bean bags and parasols. I'm sorry the sun was shining so brightly it turned the sea golden. I'm sorry my fruity red cocktail came with a cute little umbrella. I leaned over and asked you what makes you happy, and you said, I don't know. And then you turned away and opened a black parasol. I must say your lipstick never looked so hilarious as you sat, wistful and talcum white on a SpongeBob sun chair.
James Harrington.
Told you follow that. This is about computer virus. Of course, the Mac users are permitted a wry smile at this stage. The PC people suffer. Free downloads. They've altered my application, activated my archives, booted my browser, buried my broadband, bookmarked my bits, connected my console, captured my cartridge, clicked on my cookies, commandeered my cursor, dropped down my devices, delved in my downloads, documented my data, dragged out my driver, displayed my desktop, erased my errata, encrypted my emails, fancied my favorites, fumbled my floppy. What?
It's not
I went to my fonts, firewalled my folders, gorged on my gigabytes, grouped up my game ports, hijacked my hardware, hacked at my hyperlink, hung out my homepage, hosted my hard drive, inserted my icon, interrupted my intranet, jellied my Java, jumpered my jackplug, keystroked my kernel, kneaded my knickknacks, logged on my laptop, labeled my luggage, massaged my poor mouse, meddled with my modem. Minimized my monitor, muddled my memory, memorized my moniker, negated my network, networked my nonsense, opened my outputs, outsourced my options, plagiarized my process, programmed my printer, punctured my pop-ups, partitioned my password, queried my QWERTY, questioned my query, quoted my quandary, raided my right-click, recycled my registry, selected my software, sampled my startup, serviced my smart drive, scheduled my scanner, sentenced my shortcuts, trespassed my trackball, trojaned my toolbar, uncovered my uploads, underlined my undo, violated my version, vetoed my vectors, vented my volumes, wormed in my window, winkled my wizard, X-rated my excerpts, yawned at my yarns, zeroed my zip drive. Thank you.
He called out a botnet. You could be suffering from a botnet. So your computer is like taken over by a botnet army. He's taking full control of your computer. You had to get rid of it.
That's computer
sound. I'm only joking. So I read this on Facebook. It's by Shinji Moon. It's a very beautiful piece, and when I read it, I told a lot of people I could say it to. I'm sure I know there's a lot of people here that are going through very hard times, so I thought that I read it out to the open mic to everybody, because we're all going through hard times. I look at you, and I see all the ways a soul can bruise, and I wish I could sink my hands into your flesh and light lanterns along your spine, so you know that there is nothing but light, and I see you.
Kieran and Rusty.
Thank you. So this is one I read the other night, so some people heard it, but I did change three words at the break. So, welcome to the San Francisco people as well. I hope you're having a great time. Okay. Come back next week if you're here for a few weeks. Come back next week. So this is about mental health and mind, and it's called mental. It's about our brains, basically. We're as mad as a bunch of raving rabbits with each and every one of our habits, good or bad. Glad the latest fad can keep you from what's really going on. And what is really going on? The bigger picture from your vision is just about gone. This synaptic car crash collision can't explain what's wrong. Trapped in decision, very vain. But be reassured that we can all sing along in the form of song. Smiling from ear to ear as if our lives depended on it. And sadly it does, this recommended survival means, for to give yourself away would say you're either one screw loose or you're gay, both of which are fine behind most eyes, except for the lasting few who sit rigid in pews and coldly refuse to adapt their views. All is not lost, my friends, but there is still plenty more to lose. In such a modern age, it's hard to think that trivial subjects come before what really matters. Look at all that glass shattered at your doorstep, feeling flattered from the nods and winks. The white noise cods you into thinking you're part of it. Seemingly perfectly poised, you flow through the noise and think and think and think and think, and naturally this becomes a go-to hobby. While the rest wait wondering in the overgrown hotel lobby, bags packed and good to go. Bring them all to Nepal. Sit them staring at snow-peaked mountains and politely ask them to contemplate the mind. And in peacefully doing so, I think they'll find that in this green country with so much rain, it's hard not to complain. It's been hard to stay sober, not to mind staying sane. Happily paying for scandalous theatre, boasting tickets bought to blame. And so I'm toasting to all those who think we need to switch tracks and change trains. Like cars laying waste, we swerve into foreign lanes. Unknown planes, as foreign thoughts in foreign lakes flow down foreign drains. Stop for a second and see the war in each and every solitary brain. The many faces differ, but the green, blue and red eyes all align the same. And it lingers, loiters and remains, festers and chains, the shame, the shame, the shame. Thank you.
While living your life, scrubbing over the music as you do best, black eclipse on form are requisite standards. A pinnacle of pain falls short of closure, crossly sucked, on demand, inconsequential. Warming into a life grossly alright, introducing the dark side of a job badly done. Sleeping under demands, requests futile, or places to stay, clothing notwithstanding. Waitress on guard to see if you see you off safely. Loud, not liked, as a parent wished. Scan demands to make politicians laugh. Prosecution simplex explains their rule. Promising redemption on the back of a laptop, nicely groomed to its use by an optimum. Frequenting the gingerbread house on every occasion. An unlikely rehab from top to toe. Spare cups do the business, a tea beats the life form. Straws breaking backs miss their chances. Now I am alone, before small planes and revenge porn. Ultimate sacrifice no more than a whimsy. Laying down in peace, a partner's pole vault. Sleeping though you are, a luxury of soil. And your own sword of things, of drugs and alcohol. Probably missed by whom I have forgotten. Thank you.
Oh. Right.
it on, not at all. It's the worst thing, oh shit, what I do, because my, whether I like it or not, every poem I write becomes a song, and I curse with it because I find it hard to perform songs. However, they arrive every week like this and that. I've only published 10. So here we go. And this is from my male Libra friend who loves to say, I've lost the battle, there's no point. And he's done this often, and I said, you get a song. The battle's lost. Hold the mic. The battle's lost. I admit defeat. Time to count the cost. Surrender each skipped heartbeat. It's time that I try to say goodbye to the times of me and you. The times of me and you. The race we run. Hard to draw the line. Raise the memories of a golden time. From your dreams, from some crazy tragic land, reset the clock, turn back the hands of time, but it's hard to block what is thought is yours and mine. When I needed you, it's like the second day, since secrets can't come true. So don't look me in the eye. It's time that I try to say goodbye to the times of me and you. The times of me and you. The times of me and you. I'm eating Travis. And the last part was, it was last week and I didn't do it, so it was an epiphany. So just a quick blessing for the epiphany for all the ladies. Okay. Okay. I wish you all an epiphany, a marvelous new discovery, to brainstorm with a blast, to get rid of the crap from your past. I wish you all a new vision, a new insight, a new mission, and on this small little Christmas, to be a small woman's my wish list. Don't let my mind was the one where all the trouble began. I was on day one of my diet, and I said, and I announced the world here a flogget. I wish you all a Christmas, a marvelous new discovery, as you brainstorm with a blast, get rid of that crap from your past.
Thanks. I didn't think I had anything written, and then I remembered I wrote this at an event that Ali, Michelle, and Kieran were performing at. I don't drink much often, and so I wrote a line of poetry every time I went to the bathroom. This is called Diuresis, I think.
Oh my god.
So it just my descent into madness. Cotton cacophony of crackling as cans cracking coalition. 4 cans deep, 4 days without real sleep, and in 5 hours I got to be in work for the 8 days straight. Ashamed to repeat the same poetry in case you know it's me who wrote it. Raw intention, suspension of performance pieces could be perceived as thesis. Read aloud in a shroud of self-delusion, amusement from verbs past herbs and buzzwords. To provoke a reaction, provoke attraction to me on stage, sage and solemn, sincere and full of shit. I pit myself against the great, rate that indecision inked on my skin. Lads, I fancy a ride, I need a sin. Mm-hmm. Pomegranate makes every salad look pretty.
Oh.
Yeah. Still up saying it.
Once, before my body, when the sun and moon both fell together, I was left alone with myself and the unsaid. The unsaid flows from thin twine tied to your spine, as many of them as seconds. The unsaid's what's left when, of this trip when stripped of lyrics. The unsaid's a strong stance, giving strong wind a challenge, a love to dance. Distract, tickle ankles, swooping up underarm and knocking out those closed elbows. We can breathe underwater of the unsaid. The unsaid holds every hand of your thousand limbs outstretched. It lives in unsold envelopes, even crumpled page holds infinite space that light cut, letting cuts of light in. It's under the tablecloth and everyone you know is sat around. The unsaid is love itself, still trying to become spoken. The unsaid takes tokes of your cigarettes and does your breathing for you. The unsaid's a flirt, and you are too. The unsaid's in bed with your ex and her head asleep. The unsaid's every ornament on your shelf and in your stupid little box of things unsaid. The unsaid's I'll meet you in the park for that unfinished chat, that heart-stopping interrupted. The unsaid's morally corrupt, it's fucked, always abruptly interrupting with nothing. The unsaid is her child smiling back at her black eye. The unsaid curled up in your ear laying eggs. The unsaid's entire continents. Depression makes unsaid fertile. Unsaid's got a holiday home in hell, just to feel the bliss of returning to this. The unsaid engulfs your head when your hood's up and fills the room when you've nothing on. The unsaid's made me deaf and socially inept. It's crept up and made a bed on my tongue. It slides inside sometimes when I leave my skin. It slips out and hides in yours eyes, smiling. The unsaid can be your secret if you let it. It can choke you swollen. The unsaid's dormant. And with your death comes the unsaid's immortality. So don't waltz with or wrestle it. Entertain my fiction or don't believe me. This is only a story, and these are only just words. Oh.
Access, gut poison, shite talk weaknesses. For all the doubt, isolation, and barrenness of mind, you do not need. Smash your confidence like glass on the stone slabs of inadequacy. Disconnect, lack inspiration, want for nothing. If you feel frightened, run away. If you feel nervous, shake. If you feel pressured, wilt. Sink under the weight of your own ideas and do not resurface. Everything you struggle with will strangle you. Distrust yourself. You have little to offer. Hearts darken in your presence. The lights go out in all the windows. Nothing is yours to possess. If you stand still long enough, you too can be a shitting post for pigeons. Spin unenthusiastic cartwheels across the coal pit of self-effacement. Hobble indifferently towards defeat with all the grace of an inebriated cygnet out of water. When drowning, be sure to cling to those around you. Do not let go.
Minor muscle minorities and foobars. Oven for to over not to for, weak at four for oven to over for, avoid the knot, the guardian knot, avoid the sword, the great sword. O soul will bring wealth and for will bring politic. There so that is now expletives won't help cow the night that all people were black from sweeping chimney soot back to the land of innocence and experienced lack. few from that which has none, few the few so much for me or you. Few the few so much for seeing through. Few the few yields the greatest serial killers that have scarcely killed but one. Found flu foo, get it? Found flu foo.
This is a reading from a book called An Account of the Decline of the Great Auk According to One Who Saw It. It's by Jesse Greengrass. And on the back of the book, it says, "Those were the last two great auk, and we killed them." It's from a chapter called Winter 2058. We were told that when an intrusion was entering the active phase of its cycle, the first thing we would notice would be that things would feel colder. Not just the temperature, but the world itself. We would feel that the world had become colder, that something had been stripped away from it, some quality of receptiveness or responsiveness which had previously made it home. This feeling would bloom slowly from unease into fear. We would become afraid that while superficially familiar, our surroundings were alien, and we would feel that perhaps it had always been this way. The world unknowable, but only now were we able to perceive the truth of it. We might, in addition, experience an aura, a smell, or a visual distortion, as though a migraine were beginning, a pocket of sky that writhed and bubbled, objects bleeding into one another or glimmering across the surface of things. It would become hard to keep track of our thoughts. Purposes would be forgotten, intentions subverted, things would flicker in our peripheral vision, and at night the shadows would teem. Agnosia would begin. We would be able to see things but not name them, or use them but not say what they were for. The faces of our colleagues would seem strange to us, flat as paintings, or they might seem to be wearing masks, be imposters, strangers who had taken on these likenesses for reasons of their own. This mistrust of the external world would at last extend to even parts of our own bodies. We might, for example, become unable to recognize our own fingers, so that our hands would seem to us to be flat plates ending at the knuckles and attached to them, strange protrusions, growths that would puzzle us because we would not know what they were for. Eventually, even the subjective would begin to seem suspect. Our memories would become erratic. We would not be able to say for certain if what we believe to have happened really occurred, or if it was only a product of our imaginations. The limits of our certainty would shrink until the solid ground would seem to be that on which we stood. We were told that when this happened, we must not panic. It would be nothing but symptom. And as the intrusion moved back out of its active phase and towards dormancy, these effects would subside. Everyone.
They watch me through the corner of their narrowed eyes. They don't trust me. They know I'm up to something. I gently suggest that we go out. I tell them just for a short while. I am concealing more sinister schemes. They offer 1,000 protestations. I provide a plethora of paper promises. They tensely agree. They snigger and whisper as we walk. I smirk quietly in the knowledge that I shall have the last laugh. We arrive. I give the order. They realize the trap. I am in control. They plead for reason and mercy. I am mad and merciless. They gasp for air as the black liquid swallows them. I swallow it. I breathe a sigh of relief as the last of my inhibitions disappears beneath the creamy froth.
Sad news today. Stan.
Oh,
everyone knows Stan?
Yeah.
Stan's mother passed away last night.
Oh.
Jackie. She was an absolutely wonderful woman.
Yeah,
I imagine. And it just happened out of the blue, and he asked if I read this poem. So this is from Stanley, and it's called Love Is Enough. You know, Stan's poems are written based on song titles from different musicians. And one of Jackie's favorite singers was Cliff Richard. So this one was written under Cliff Richard's song titles. Love is enough. Everybody knows love is the strongest emotion. That all kinds of people, every man and woman in the world, dream of living in harmony. But somewhere over the rainbow, in a wide open space where nothing is impossible, true loving lives forever. Everybody knows everyone needs somebody to love. That long is the night for the lonely girl, that yesterday's memories linger forever on a mighty lonely man's heartbeat. That going home alone to an empty tomb with empty chairs, you will never know true love ways. Everybody knows in the bleak midwinter, little things, idle gossip, tea for two, a true smile mean a lot. Everybody knows in the bleak midwinter, winning words, I live for you, I'll love you forever. There'll never be anyone else but you. Takes special care of two hearts. Everybody knows when love is in the stars, in a matter of moments we shall be changed. That love in a helping hand hold us together, make every day a carnival day. Everybody knows when love is here, magic is the moonlight. Simplicity, butterfly, kisses, life, we constantly ease along, and the joy of living is ocean deep, and all that matters. How wonderful to know, everybody knows, that yesterday, today, forever, no matter what, for you and I, love is enough.
Come on.